The Fred Minnick Show is brought to you by Michter's American Whiskeys and by 291 Colorado Whiskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Fred Minnick Show. Fred here, and do I got a doozy for you this week. Great interview coming up with Jay Cutler. But first, I got to talk to you about what happened last week. So last week with country star Hannah Dasher, she straight pulled out her hair. Like, I don't mean she pulled out her hair and, like, hair came out. She was actually clipped. She had hair clips. I knew they existed, but I didn't really know how they worked. And she pulled the clip out, right? And I swear it was, like, attached to her skull or something. But you hear it, like, kind of, it was a very loud click and everything. She pulled it out, and she showed it off to the camera. It was a great magical moment for camera. And I, dadgummit, I accidentally deleted the video. It was probably one of the best videos I've ever had in my life. And I deleted it. Yeah, I'm such a bum when it comes to doing all this. But hey, I'm doing it all by myself. You know, I'm out on the road and I'm doing it by myself. And so mistakes are going to happen. I'm only human. But I'm just telling you, that was a hilarious, hilarious moment. And if I can find a way to recover that dadgum video, I'll put it up on YouTube and you can see it, see my face. I probably had my face just dropped. I was like, oh my God, how did that happen? You know. But Hannah was a great, great guest. I hope you enjoyed listening to her. But so this week's episode is Jay Cutler. So Jay Cutler, you know him from, he was drafted by the Denver Broncos, mostly known for playing the Chicago Bears. He also played for the Miami Dolphins and, of course, was a Vanderbilt project. In this interview, Jay and I, of course, we drank a lot of bourbon. And, you know, bourbon is a truth serum, right? And when you have one of the most honest quarterbacks on your show, you know, stuff's going to come out. So he has some stories about, you know, his old playing buddy, Zach Miller. He gave his honest opinion on Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers was talked about a lot this offseason, and he got real honest there. And he talked about the Packers organization, which I know for a lot of Packers fans, that's going to feel weird coming from a longtime Bears player, especially Jay Cutler. But that being said, you know, he dropped some bombs here, so make sure you listen to all that. Now, as I have been saying a lot in the past weeks, if you are a listener, you're new, and you would like a sticker, hit me up on fredminnick.com. That's fredminnick.com. I'd love to hear from you. Anything you got to say about the show, I'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to send you a sticker. Make sure you send us your address as well. A lot of people have been writing us without sending an address. We follow up, but sometimes they don't get back to us. But we want to make sure you get a sticker. My partner in crime, Allison DeLand, will get you hooked up. And, you know, it just put it on your bumper, put it on your refrigerator, your computer. I just ask that you do not use it in criminal activity. So if you have a hankering for going out and robbing a place in the middle of the night, first of all, you shouldn't do that. That sort of thing's illegal. Just don't bring the sticker with you. I don't need to get a call from the cops, okay? All right? I appreciate that. But, folks, you're going to enjoy this week's episode, especially if you are a football fan. If you're not a football fan, well, tough. It's football season, and I can't wait to start watching football again. Oh, my God. Seriously, the NFL is something that I need in my soul. I have to watch it. It's the best thing on TV. It's the best thing to see in person. I love football. I can't wait. So enjoy this week's episode with Jay Cutler, folks. But first, a word from our sponsors.
People want a great whiskey that isn't like every other whiskey. So nestled in the shadow of Pike's Peak, 291 Colorado Whiskey is distilled from grain to barrel to bottle. Exceptional Western whiskey, unlike any other. Passion permeates every sip. Utilizing grains from the Colorado Plains, water collected from Pike's Peak reservoirs, and finished with aspen staves, 291 Colorado Whiskey is an award-winning single barrel and small batch whiskey. hard made the Colorado way. Our recipe, our stills, independent and always rugged, refined, and rebellious. 291 Colorado Whiskey is proud of its humble roots and excited as we expand to new frontiers. Get your taste of Colorado at 291coloradowhiskey.com. Online orders available or find a bottle near you. Ride it like you stole it. Drink it like you own it. Live fast. Drink responsibly.
Hey, everybody. Fred here. Hey, how would you like to take home all the pappy? Ooh, all the pappy. That's right. All the Pappy Van Winkle. And you would help a charity. I'm talking about the Ronald McDonald House raffle for Pappy Van Winkle. That's right. The coveted, highly sought after Pappy Van Winkle. That flight includes one bottle of each of them, of the Pappy Van Winkle 23-year-old, a 2018, a Pappy Van Winkle 20-year-old, a 2019, a Pappy Van Winkle 15-year-old, a 2019, Van Winkle Special Reserve 12-year-old, Lot B, and Old Rip Van Winkle 10-year-old. I validated these bottles. They are legit, and for $100, $100, you got a shot at winning this. So, and the most importantly, it goes to a good cause. The Ronald McDonald House is helping families with sick children as they are getting treatment. So do me a favor and head on over to pappyraffle.org. That's pappyraffle.org to purchase tickets. Thanks, everybody.
At Michter's Distillery, our passion is making the finest bourbon, rye, and American whiskey possible. When you only produce very small batch and single barrel whiskey as we do, each and every barrel has to be perfect. No detail is too small for our production team. From careful attention to the 18-month or more air-dried wood used in the construction of our barrels, to entering our distillate into the barrel at the costlier lower barrel entry proof of 103 so that it's smoother, to heat cycling our barrel houses, to our signature filtration protocol, we spare no expense in pursuing our goal of making the greatest American whiskey. And no Michter's gets bottled until our master distiller, Dan McKee, and our master of maturation, Andrea Wilson, say it's just right. Michter's Fort Nelson Distillery in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, is open for tours and tastings. Book your visit on our website and stop by the bar at Fort Nelson for a world-class cocktail. For more information, follow us on social media at Michter's Whiskey, go to michters.com, or visit your favorite bartender. Michter's Distillery. It's all about the whiskey.
And joining the Fred Minnick Show, Jay Cutler. What's up, man?
Nothing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Appreciate it. So you a bourbon fan?
I am.
What do you normally drink?
I have Four Roses. I've had Elijah, Whistle Pig. Kind of anything that get our hands on now. It's kind of everything's in short supply a little bit.
That is true.
Unless we're here. Obviously.
I mean, this is my traveling office, but you know, if you were in my studio, we could grab and just really anything going back to the early 1900s, but we got some good stuff here to taste.
Absolutely. This is incredible.
So, what do you in terms of like tell me about like your food history. What do you like to eat? What did you grow up eating?
Grew up in southern Indiana. Kind of, you know, Midwest, kind of steak and potato type of growing up. And now, probably ventured more into vegetables, but still steak, fish, chicken.
You know, you're healthy.
I try to be healthier.
All right, so let's talk about like the really junk shit, you know, like Snickers, candy bars, sure. Twix. What are you eating in that regard?
None anymore. Grew up with all that, but none of that stuff anymore.
And so you're not even splurging now and then with a little Snickers bar, a little something?
I haven't had a Snickers bar in, 10 years, 15 years maybe.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Wow.
I mean, I'll eat desserts, but I mean, I'll be selective.
Wow. Okay, so what desserts would you be selective about?
I'll eat chocolate. I'll have ice cream. I'll have, you know, if I'm at a restaurant, like I'll order a dessert. But typically, I don't have dessert at home really, and I don't eat any of those.
Now, is there a fruit you don't like?
Kind of allergic to pineapple.
You're allergic to pineapple.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Why? Is there pineapple in here?
No, I mean, there is. They can be like a pineapple-flavored rums.
Yeah.
You know?
Not a huge rum fan, though.
Okay.
No. Tequila, vodka, bourbon. those are kind of my statements.
All right. Well, you just said something that most people would get kicked off the show like right away.
Vodka?
Saying you like vodka. You
know? Really?
But that's okay. Well, we'll allow a pass.
I mean, I'm here now. I mean, I might as well finish it.
Might as well.
You can just never have
me
back.
Well, you know, the thing is, we get some bourbon in you, and maybe and maybe you hear the story of why vodka sucks. And
I would love to hear the story.
And everything
sucks.
Changes. So, you know, vodka did not even have a federal definition in the United States until 1958. And then when it got a federal definition and started getting a little bit of esteem, and people started drinking vodka over bourbon, and that made a huge bourbon decline in the 60s and 70s, and places started going out of business. They could never catch up to the vodka sales because there's like no cost to like bottle vodka in comparison to bourbon, which has to be in a barrel for a long period of time. And then now in the modern sense, that bourbon has skyrocketed, is doing so well. These conglomerates that have a lot of brand, the distributors tell retailers, oh, you want our one really highly allocated bottle of bourbon? You have to buy 60 cases of vodka. And so that is why it's a matter of, like, you know, historic reasoning, gotcha. but also modern business.
Where do you stand on moonshine? Like real moonshine.
We are
in Tennessee.
Yeah, I do. I appear on the show Moonshiners from time to time.
Okay.
And I drink their moonshine.
Okay.
And when it's legit, I mean, I will drink legit moonshine.
Yeah.
And the moonshiners, when they'll see me on the show and they'll send me stuff, and it'll just show up in a random like bottle. I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is. I'll smell it, and I can feel like my eyeballs in the back a little bit, so I won't drink it. But most of the time, you know, they're legit.
Yeah, it's not
legit
bad.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
But I want to start you with actually. This is a smoke.
A friend of mine just got me this.
You got Smoke Wagon?
I haven't had it yet, though.
Okay.
Just got it for me, though.
Now, this is a blend that I did. It's a barrel pick that I did. So I combined two barrels, only 193 barrels done. And a lot of these will be going to raise charity, raise money for charity. So I'm really big into charity.
Absolutely.
And bourbon raises a lot of money. And we're in Nashville, a barrel company where the owner and I are part of a organization called Bourbon Crusaders. A couple of years ago, we raised $500,000 for cancer charities.
Well, yeah, you give everyone much to bourbon, and then they're more than willing to give money.
That's right. They bid more. You know, they spend more money, and it's amazing what bourbon can do.
Oh,
so,
absolutely.
So kind of like the process.
Yeah, tell me about the process.
So the process.
I know the wine process, but how does this go for bourbon?
It's similar but different.
Okay.
You know, really the beginning of a tasting is about analyzing the color. When the bourbon goes in the barrel, it's as clear as the water from your tap. So
go ahead and finish this first.
Oh,
then I have a question.
Go for it.
Bourbon versus whiskey. Bourbon is what? Like, is it 51% corn?
So bourbon does have to be 51% corn, but let's take a look at what bourbon is. Bourbon is a whiskey.
Yes.
So whiskey is a categorical term.
Okay.
And there's subcategories. So you have Scotch, you have Canadian whiskey, Irish whiskey, rye. And so there's all these subcategories of whiskey. Bourbon, it has to be predominantly corn, or as they say, 51% corn. They can add wheat, rye, triticale, barley, anything else, other grains after, but it always has to be predominantly corn.
Okay.
Then there's some distillation things to it, like it cannot be distilled any higher than 160 proof. This is a very, very important qualifier, because the higher you go up in proof, the more you're stripping out of it. And there's a lot of spirits that go up as high as 190 proof, which is the same distillation point as ethanol. So vodka, actually by law, it has to be distilled at 190 proof. So they're going through the same distillation methods that they do with ethanol, with vodka. And so the higher you go up in proof, the more you strip out of it. And then after it comes off the still.
When you say strip out of it, what do you mean by that?
It's stripping out the grain oils,
okay.
the characters at the base of the grains.
The flavor and stuff.
The flavors,
okay.
Yeah. So you're basically, higher you go up, the more odorless and tasteless you are making it. You're basically making
rubbing alcohol. Gotcha.
It's exactly it. And then they, after it comes off the still, they cut it with water. They call it proofing water.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important. You know, you've got some places that have great water, like Tennessee and Kentucky. And then you have places like Florida, which I'm buying bottled water every time I'm going there because that's not good water. You know, not good water in Florida. But so they it cannot be cut any higher or any lower or any higher than 125 proof.
Okay.
But most people are going in between 110 and 125 proof.
Gotcha.
And then it's going in that new charred oak barrel where it sits for anywhere from a day to 8 years to, you know, Pabbi Van Winkle's 23 years. Yeah. But the big thing, too, is it has to be made in the United States of America, not just Kentucky.
Bourbon.
To be bourbon. Exactly. Just has to be made in the United States of America. And that was a law that was passed in 1964 by Congress. So it's kind of an indication that Congress does get some things right, you know, like
every once in a while.
Every once in a while they did that. So this is distilled in Indiana and blended in Las Vegas. So Smoke Wagon is in Las Vegas. You get to Las Vegas much?
I was just in Las Vegas for the UFC fight.
Oh, the McGregor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. That was rough.
That was the best thing that happened to him was probably getting his leg broke.
Not a McGregor fan?
No, I was cheering for him, but I don't think the second round was going to do him well.
You didn't be any better. Now, no. What's the most money you've ever lost in Vegas?
Not a huge gambler, so a couple thousand.
Okay. I was at a blackjack table in the Wynn with an offensive lineman. This guy was dropping 5,000 a hand, and he just—I watched him lose probably 100 grand.
Oh yeah,
in a matter of minutes. Easily. And it was painful.
Well, guys, I've got friends like that, and guys like that think the next hand they're just going to get it back. Next hand they're going to get it back. If you're going to do that, I think you're supposed to like just keep doubling until you get it back.
Yeah, that's not the best method though.
All right, let's try this.
Here we go. So we looked at the color. Now yes. We smell with your mouth open, and you kind of work back and forth. But you know, have you ever broken your nose?
Probably.
So you have.
It's not straight, so. I'm
so you have like, happened. If you've broken your nose,
yeah.
Your olfactory shifted to with your nose, however it is. So, folks, and this is a good way to tell if you have one nostril that's really not working.
My left one is not working. It's not functioning correctly.
Has it always been that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably broke your nose.
Well, one time my dad was throwing footballs out in the yard. I was really young, and he led me literally just directly into a tree. And I remember that one, and that one, my face. I think that's probably the first time.
That's great parenting right there.
First class.
All right, so once we've smelled it, and this is really just a beautiful, spicy forward, nutmeg, caramel, vanilla. This has got a lot going on the nose. And then when you put it on your palate, taste a little bit. You want to feel it all over your tongue. The first thing I want you to do is focus on what part of the tongue is it hitting, and then we can laser on what the flavor is. When you focus on what part of the tongue it is, on the tip of the tongue is where we get our sweetness notes. In the middle, we get our savory stuff like cornbreads, pie crust, things like that. And in the back, you get spices, whether it's like baking spice or pepper spice. And then like the back toward the middle, you get bitterness, and on the sides you get bitterness as well. So first focus
who
on
knew this?
It's the thing. You've got to focus on where it's hitting your palate.
Okay.
And then you can laser in on what the flavors are.
Okay. I taste wood. Woody.
What part of the tongue?
I want to say like more middle. To maybe, definitely not the tip. middle to maybe the outer edges.
So those are like kind of like the backside middle. That's kind of like the bitterness region.
Okay.
And that would be, you know, wood would fall in like those bitterness lines. Now,
what did you taste?
First of all, in terms of how it hits my palate, tasting is genetic as well as it is as, you know, training, kind of like any athletic endeavor.
Yeah.
And it is mouth coating for me, and it has like a really pecan kind of like flavor profile for me with a lot of caramel after that. Almost it's almost like a pecan pie.
You say mouth coating, like you feel it in your entire...
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah, I got that.
It's like a buttery. It's just like dripping down the jawline, just...
You could take this a whole different direction.
Quite tasty. Well, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, the last episode, we started talking about men's underwear somehow.
Really?
So, I mean, it was like, you know, I was getting the pitch on, like, a new type of men's underwear. And I was...
Could we blindfold you? And could you tell what you're drinking?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I can. In one of my shows, what I'll do is... I will put a blindfold on people, have them come on stage, and have them smell. And if you cannot see what you're smelling, most people can't smell it. Like, if you put a blindfold on somebody, most people cannot smell a banana. It's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. But, yeah, some days the palate is, I can definitely, pick up things. And, some days with the blindfold on, it's not as sharp.
Will you... When you're at home, just casually having a whiskey, will you ever put any ice in it? Or
absolutely, absolutely, good? Yeah. But when I'm being analytical,
yeah.
No, I want to focus on like
it.
I want to see how it is in the bottle.
Sure.
But absolutely, I will when it's when especially like at a sporting event, I'll add ice.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was really frowned upon in the whiskey bourbon.
I think most people are like, drink it however you like, but yeah. you don't want to see someone spending stupid money and then putting it with Coca-Cola.
No.
And I think that's where it comes from. Like,
no, yeah. Like, those days are well behind me. I remember in college, we would get, the hell was that stuff?
Now, Vandy's a dry campus, Jay.
we would get, it was like $8 or $9. I mean, the thing was this big. It'll come to me here in a little bit. But yes, I mean, it would basically be just, Jack and Cokes and stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
In college drinking, that's high on the hog.
It wasn't Jack though. It was something really bad.
Tin High? Kessler's?
I've had that. No.
Good Lord, those are both awful.
Starts with an E, maybe.
Evan Williams? No, Elijah Craig?
No, definitely not Elijah Craig. Just not, early times.
All right, well, back in the day, early times really did suck, but lately it's gotten a lot better. But then again, they just got bought, and we don't know where it's going to go.
Well, all I know is you could get like a bottle this big for like $9.
Yeah, it was used barrel whiskey. Back then,
barrels.
Yeah, they would recycle barrels for that. It wasn't even bourbon; it was Kentucky whiskey. Now, did you ever drink a little bit before playing a game at Vandy? Or
no, I mean, there were times we played Saturday, like Thursday night we would go out,
mm-hmm.
but never like Friday, never not before.
Yeah. What I've talked to, I've had a lot of
that was my younger days.
I've had a lot of players on the show, and I always ask, baseball is very different than football.
For
like,
sure.
There's like no alcohol in the locker rooms.
In baseball or football?
Well, in baseball, there's a shit ton of alcohol
in
the locker rooms.
Yeah.
But
yes.
In football, there's
doesn't
seem to be any.
No, whenever I first got in the league in 06, there would be the night before games. So Saturday night, we'd have meetings, and then we would have, there'd be a meal and stuff, and then there'd be snack at like 9 or 10. And there were always like these big coolers, some would be water, and there's coolers full of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'd see like an older player, I was young, older player sitting there having a beer. I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, these guys are animals. And then whenever we got on the planes... Or when you got on away games, when you got off the bus, or whenever you got left the stadium, got onto the bus to take you to the plane, there'd be a whole trash can full of beer. And then when you got on the plane, every seat in the plane would have 3 to 4 beers on it. So, I mean, there was alcohol everywhere after the games, and some before the games, but not many guys had beers Saturday night. But after the game, there was alcohol everywhere. People would bring wine, whiskey, liquor, everything on the plane.
So, of your old teammates, let's say you've got a great bottle. Let's say whatever your favorite bottle that you've had to date. Maybe it's Pappy. Maybe it's a Four Roses limited edition small batch. Maybe it's something just really rare. You have an old teammate over. Who is the most likely one to steal the bottle?
Most likely person to steal a bottle of bourbon from me would probably be my friends now that I think would probably Zach Miller, and he would do it claim to be accidentally.
Tied in, right?
Yeah. Big whiskey guy. I was just at his house a little while ago, and I think he would take one, but I mean, I'd give it to him too.
Well, you know, he caught a few touchdowns for you, so.
He did. Yeah, he's doing music now too.
That's right.
Doing his Nashville, but big bourbon guy.
That's awesome. I have to look at getting him on the show. Maybe maybe we can do some fun blind stuff together.
Yeah. He'd be awesome at it.
So now let's go to, what did you think of the smoke wagon?
I liked it. I'm excited to try it at home. Drink some more of it. It was good.
It'll be very different than what you had here.
I'm sure. It was very, like you said, it was buttery. It was very smooth going down. Like it was mm-hmm. It didn't bite like I thought it might. I mean, it's warm, but it's, I like it.
Now I want to take you to a bottle that's very special to me. And this was on my list of the greatest bourbons of the century.
Really?
So far. This is Parker's Heritage. This is the Promise of Hope. This is the fresh glass, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this is the Promise of Hope. This is named after Parker Beam, the former master distiller of Heaven Hill. He passed away a few years ago of ALS, and now every bottle of Parker's Heritage that you buy, a lot of it goes to the ALS Foundation.
Okay.
And this is, you know, there's a belief in a bourbon that you only break out, you know, your best bourbon with friends and with people that you want to hang out with. And I love to tell the story of Parker because we're getting in this phase of the bourbon world where no one seems to care as much about the legacies of the people who created it, and it's more about what's inside the bottle. Mm-hmm. And like any chance I can tell you about, you know, one of my mentors in the business is a good day for me. So this is Parker's Heritage, Promise of Hope.
There is such a history to a lot of these bourbons.
That's right.
I mean, it goes back so far, and it seems like it stays in the family, and they just keep.
They do. There is, and there's a lot of folklore around it too.
Yeah.
And in the bullshit in bourbon almost becomes its own special history.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, you know, they would make stuff up in the 1800s, and it carried over, and now you have historians like me kind of proving that this stuff was made up. They're like, and then we're all like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
It's part of the game.
Part of it, exactly. Yeah. That's what makes it the mystique. How did you get into bourbon?
So my
where are you from?
I'm originally from Oklahoma.
Okay.
My journey begins. I come home from Iraq as a soldier.
Gotcha.
And the only job I could get was as a food editor. And when you write about food, you eventually write about alcohol. And I started writing about bourbon in 2006. And it was a process that I liked. There was some history to it. There was some business components to it I really liked. But my journey really does begin, you know, like a lot of soldiers, I was having a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And I got myself in therapy, was getting some help. And
it's tough figuring out what to do after
it is
after that, after anything like that. I mean, you dedicate yourself to something for an extensive period of time and
you have to make that decision,
yeah.
You know, and it's an individual thing. And there's, you know, veterans, we have a lot of suicides, and there's a lot of efforts to prevent that. But
absolutely.
At the end of the day, the individual has to make that decision. And I made the decision to put myself in a chair in kind of like a high level therapy. And one of the things that I was taught in this therapy was mindfulness. Okay. And my instructor taught me to focus on what I was tasting and where it was hitting on my mouth and what I was feeling. And it was started with a potato chip. I'd crunch a potato chip and I would think about how it's feeling there, where it's at. And I started noticing that I was triggering things in my brain and it was taking me away from thinking about like an RPG that almost killed me.
Kind of a meditation.
It's exactly a meditation.
That's amazing.
And I was able to apply it to wine mm-hmm. and to whiskey. Yeah. And that's kind of how, and I began,
I just added on that and kept kind of training, and then I was being trained by master sommeliers and master distillers at the same time. And so that's kind of how it all started. And then we're looking at 2006,
yeah,
you know, to 2012, with kind of when that was all really, you know, going forward. And, you know, here I am 15 years later, you know, trying to carry on the joy of teaching with Fine Products and telling the story of, you know, people who have meant something to me.
That's awesome.
So
that's a great story.
So cheers, my friend.
Cheers, absolutely. This smells sweeter.
This is sweeter on the fruit side. So first of all, that one nostril you got working.
Yeah, the right ones.
It's the doing all right.
It's garbage.
You picked it up.
Good job, right side.
You threw right a lot. Mm-hmm. That was your that was your favorite lane to throw.
Right side's worthless. Left side's worthless, man. This is just really smooth to me.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I mean, it's... Last one I said was like butter.
Yeah.
This is like maple syrup.
Yeah.
You know?
A little sweetness to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no bitterness. There's no... That's good.
And it's really... It's really when you... Every taster is different. Every person is different. You know, I mean, you saw this, you know, playing football. You get someone who looks like they should be the best player on the field, and they get hit once, and they're afraid to go back in the hole or whatever, right? Uh-huh. I mean, there's a lot of stories you hear like that all the time.
Yeah.
Tasting.
Potential gets you beat.
Exactly. Tasting is an individual performance, and it's based on, like, training. It's based on, like, your genetics.
Yeah.
You know, my whole family, we can smell. We can smell things miles away. We grew up like in a farm area. We're mostly smelling stink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pigs and
so if you squeeze a fart out here, I'm gonna, you know, I might have
you're
to scoot
pick up on all the notes.
It's gonna be I don't wanna know what a Jay Cutler fart smells like, but it's gonna be stinky.
So do you have to Uber to all your podcasts?
I do a pretty
typically?
Good. I give a lot of money to Uber.
Gotcha.
I should probably invest in that company. But my office is also not far from my house, so yeah. I can walk. So you're getting into podcasting now.
That's what they tell me.
Tell me about the show.
Yeah, we're working on it. I think it's going to be Uncut with Jay Cutler. And we're going to kind of start into the football lane, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm interested in and, you know, I mean, food, alcohol, mm-hmm. You know, meditation. I mean, you know, there's working out.
Got done back from the gym myself.
I could tell. I could see that.
Yeah. I've been working out with some pizza and stuff, you know, real heavy.
So it's going to be fun. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those experiences where you learn something. I mean, which I'm sure you've learned a ton of things from guests and throughout the process. So I'm excited for it.
Now you're also a former player who's never you're not really extremely vocal about players on the field. Are you going to be critical of players in the season, or is...
Yeah, I mean, I think now... You know, I don't think I wasn't critical. I mean, I was only asked about my teammates, and I think as a quarterback and as one of the leaders on the team, like, you have to kind of set an example, and you just, you know, you take the blame, and, you know, you fix things internally. But now that I'm out, and I got no skin in the game, and there's certain guys that I like, and I won't...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll try to protect as much as possible, but, I mean... Now, like, I mean, I'll say what I gotta say, really. I mean,
so you don't mind, you're not gonna have any issues, like.
No, but I mean, but to that regard, there's also things that I just don't know, and no one knows. You know,
right.
you don't know if that left tackle missed, if he went the wrong way. You know, you don't know if the receiver is supposed to go left and he went right. You don't know if, you know, it was just a bad call by the OC, and in film, he was like, hey, guys, sorry, that was a shit call.
Yeah.
So there's certain aspects of the game that you just don't know, and that's just there's nothing you can do about that.
Right.
You know, but there's certain things that happen that I think that I could probably see that maybe somebody else couldn't see that. You know, I have no problem pointing out and saying, hey, like this should have been corrected. They were wrong. Or whatever it is.
Okay.
So it's gonna be fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know that's gonna be it'll be a very popular podcast, and you'll definitely get a lot of Bears listeners. You know,
yep.
Hanging on to your every word about Justin Fields.
They are excited about Justin Fields. I'm excited about Justin Fields. I think he's super talented. I'm a big fan of the coach up there. I know the Bears fans are a little on edge with him after last year and some of the stuff, but I like them. I think they got a talented group offensively, defensively. They're super talented too. So, you know, I think as a rookie quarterback, you just got to be really careful with that guy.
Well, and you know, I see a lot of Bears fans wanting him to start. I mean, do you think he should wait a little bit?
I was on Waddle and Silly maybe a month ago or something, and my vote personally was to wait. You know, I think you throw Andy out there. He's more than respectable. He can win games. You know, he can move the offense. The defense is good enough to stop people. So it's not like you have to go out there and score 30 or 40 a game.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can go out there and score enough and let him kind of see the game. Because I remember the first – where were we? We were in St. Louis. And Jake Plummer was the starter in Denver when I first got there. It was awesome. I mean –
Jake the Snake.
They had just come off AFC Championship game the year before.
Yeah.
They drafted me. And so, like, all summer, you know, I'm second team, and Jake took all the reps for first team. That's just how we were rolling in the season, no problem. Mm-hmm. And we got to St. Louis, and we had a million checks at the line that he had to do. And the place was rocking. I mean, it was so damn loud. You couldn't hear anything. It was the old stadium in St. Louis. And, I mean, we got beat down pretty good. But at one point, you know, we're getting beat, and I'm sitting there like, I don't want to go in this game. I want no part of this shit. Like, we're getting destroyed. All these checks. And as a rookie, like, it's kind of overwhelming. But, like, you know, you watch another game, and, you know, because, like, I wasn't taking reps for the first team, so, like, it was just – I was just watching.
Right.
So I think without, you know, being able to watch for me just helped me. So I think I started game 10 or 11 or whatever it was, and, you know, we won a few, we lost a few, but by year two, I was more than ready to go. So but I think these kids today are a lot more developed than, you know, in the early 2000s. I mean, they're playing football.
Yeah.
All summer camps, you know, they've got it all.
Well, I tell you, you know, Justin Fields, I think, and by no means am I a football analyst, mm-hmm. but I've interviewed plenty of football people, so that makes me an expert in today's world, right?
Without a doubt.
I think Justin Fields was the steal of the draft in the quarterback world. I think he's amazing.
And it could be.
And the thing
could
that
be
he gets
completely full of shit too, and we have. No
I mean,
idea.
Well, that's the best thing about being a draft expert, right?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I was looking at you know, some of those guys. What's the big guy?
Mel Kiper,
and he's like, I think it's like I'm literally making up a number right now, but it's like either like 20%, like right in the first round. It's like, but no one cares.
That's right.
Like, well, he just spits it out the next year.
And even if they are the best in the draft, like Jameis Winston and Mariota were back-to-back.
Yep.
I mean, like, and teams don't want them. It's like they're kind of like the last.
As quarterback, it literally depends. Like, I would not want to go in the top 10 as a quarterback these days, because you're going to a team that's in transition. You're going to a new coach. You're going to a team that sucked the year before. You're going to maybe an organization that doesn't get it. You know, and there's a lot of things that are working against you where, you know, if you are drafted a little bit later, or, you know, you're with a coach that gets it, like, you're just in a better situation. So quarterback's one of those positions. It's very situational. That's where your success is going to come from.
Right.
You know, if you got good coaches, you got a good defense, you got some skilled players, you got an OC, you know, if all those things are working, I mean, you got a shot. If a few of those things aren't, good luck.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to the Four Roses now.
Okay.
This is a barrel pick that I did with a good friend for the USO.
I'm familiar with single barrel.
And this is
I'm familiar with Four Roses.
This is a special pick.
So you picked this one out.
I did. So you've gotten to taste two of my barrel picks.
Well, seems like you know what you're talking about.
9 years, 11 months, so you know, on the edge of 10 years.
It's a long time.
And this is my favorite yeast that Four Roses has. Four Roses has several yeasts.
So you get that deep into it.
Yes. Well, and also Four Roses is very proud of their yeast strain. So,
why?
So they are a former Seagram's company, and Seagram's was a really great, parent company back in the day. And they had a belief that they had 10 recipes going into every batch. And that used to be by distillers, you know, so they would have, 10 different mash bills. And then they started closing distilleries. And so you remember me telling you about vodka and knocking things off? That was part of it. And so when you had, when you closed the distillery, they lost a recipe. So to compensate for that that recipe they lost, they created a new yeast to create like a new flavor profile, because they had a belief that if you had, when you have 10 recipes going into a batch, you can create consistency.
Okay.
And it's a proven method that they still execute today.
There you go.
I will tell you, Jay, like I had Peyton on, recently.
Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning on recently. And
how do you do?
He brought his brother Cooper.
Cooper's the funny one.
Cooper is, we had to edit a lot of things out.
Yeah, Cooper's the funny one.
He's something else, but he actually, he's got a bourbon now. He's getting in the game.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called Sweetens Cove.
Oh, we have it.
Yeah, and that's one of them there. That's the first batch.
Is it any good? You can tell me the truth.
The first batch was okay. The second batch is pretty good.
The first batch is shit. Sorry, Peyton. You're getting better though. Peyton's a good dude. I'm happy for
Yeah,
him.
He's going in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yep.
And I can't think of a more worthy guy, for that. He's been an incredible ambassador for the game.
Oh, absolutely. He changed the NFL for the better. He did a lot of great things for everybody, so he has Bud Light.
I mean,
he's got a lot of things. A
lot of business things. And now this is a sample bottle, so that's not actually the bottle.
He's doing Monday Night Football with Eli?
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, Cooper, if they would unleash him a little bit, he's hilarious.
Oh, he's
But most of the stuff is definitely not politically correct.
From Louisiana, so what do you expect?
what do you think about where the league is right now in terms of style of play? I mean, it was you were kind of at like that beginning of the trend of changing things, making things safer.
Yep.
It's a completely different game though now.
You can play quarterback forever now, and you get paid three times as much. Whenever I got in, and Peyton probably said the same thing, like you got hit in the head, and it was literally like, how many numbers? Two, three, one. Like, what do you got? And if you said half the right answers, they're like, go get them, bud. Get back in there. And then you gradually saw it get, I don't know if more politically correct is the right word, but they started getting more health conscious and, more awareness and stuff, and it's just a fine line at this point, because I don't think people want to see the game change that much that quickly, and I feel like it's changed a lot really quickly.
Yeah.
And pace of play and pulling guys out of games and that whole stuff, but we are as a society learning more really quickly about the brain and how it functions and CTE. There was a lot of controversy there for 3 or 4 years about certain things, and guys committing suicide, unfortunately. So there's good and bad. I think that the NFL is just trying to wade their way through it and do the best they can to do it the right way, but also take care of the players.
Also, players seem to be really taking control right now too of their lives. in a lot of ways. I mean, what we saw with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, if you would have told me that you would see a quarterback hold a hold, and the way he did it was what you hear from his teammates. It was for his teammates. And when you listen to his speech, he was talking about the people that didn't get contracts, like Charles Woodson, which that when I heard that, it was mind-blowing that they didn't reoffer Charles Woodson after winning that Super Bowl.
Oh, they've done so many things. I mean, they've you know, free agents, they've always been tight, but you know, they've let go of guys that are you know, huge players for them and huge influences for Aaron. I mean, right there at the cusp where you probably could have stretched out another couple of years just do the right thing, but they've been cutthroat out there, and you know, they got to a point where I guess Aaron had enough.
And so you respected how he played that?
Well, no one's done that before.
Yeah.
I don't think. Like, no one's had a press conference and literally torched the team for 30 minutes like he did.
Yeah.
And he did it a respectful way, and he got away with it, and he got everything he wanted, and now it seems to be, you know, rainbows and sunshine up there.
Well, you know, I mean, if I'm a player, which there was no way in hell I was ever going to become a player because I didn't have the athleticism. And my 40-yard dash is about a 5.6 at the, you know, on a good day.
It's like Peyton's.
But I would say if I was a player and I heard that speech, I'd would love to play with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that want to go to Green Bay and play with Aaron Rodgers, but like they just won't pick up people in free agency. It's like there's people want to go there all the time, but you know, the team just doesn't want to spend money most of the time. They, you know, I think that at one point, like, all 22 dudes or starters were draft picks, which is unheard of. And I think that's to Aaron's point of there's a lot of people that want to come, and people that we do get to come here are to play with me. And that's, I mean, he's 100% right. Just not many people would want to say that.
So you're a Bear. Like, and so for you to have like any kind of empathy for the Packers, it's almost sacrilegious in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, every Bear fan was like, this is great. Trade him, never come back, retire, do it all. But I think for Green Bay,
you're talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Not about you.
Well, both. But I think for Green Bay, like, they had one choice and one choice only. Like, you make it right, or you know, the fans are going to burn the stadium down.
You know, let's go to the Bears a little bit. This is one I haven't tasted yet. So we're doing something different here. This is a new product. I just bought this at Costco for $100.
Really?
And it's Calumet 15-year-old, 105 proof.
So we're in it strong.
We're going to go down new territory. And one of the things I noticed about this, the bottle.
Why did you pick this out?
You know, I honestly picked it out because there's a lot of 15-year-old Kentucky bourbons on the market.
Okay.
And they're all from Jim Beam. So Jim Beam doesn't own this product. But in the business of bourbon, you have people who own distilleries, and then you have people who buy stuff on what we call a source whiskey market or the open brokerage market. And there was a bunch of 15-year-old tubs that came back in from Europe. That a lot of people bought. So I have one here, then I have one.
Tubs from whom? Like, what are these tubs?
The tubs, like large crates. So these are both the same thing. So this is, they're just difference in proof. They're both 15-year-old Kentucky bourbons that would have came from Beam.
So it's basically the same whiskey, just marketed differently?
Yes, different people who purchased them in the wholesale side. And so this is a bit of an education as to talk about like how just because something is more expensive doesn't mean it's always better.
Doesn't mean it's better.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So like I never knew that like this could happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like you could have two different bottles, two different companies, and it's the same, literally from the same tub of.
It wouldn't necessarily be the same tub, but it or tanker or whatever you want to call it. But it would, but it's from definitely from the same like brokerage companies that acquired a bunch of stuff from what is the Beam?
I feel like I'm being lied to for a long time.
This is the world of whiskey.
Gosh, just all lies, about lies and deceit and drunkenness.
It's not bad, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, this is my personal coin on it, and I would say it's all right.
What don't you like about it?
There is an over banana note in this, and there's a harshness to it that is
there's a harshness to it. Did not taste banana.
There's definitely a harshness here.
It's definitely. Why is that? What'd they do wrong?
Well, the people who bottled it don't really have a choice, and I would say, like, now that I'm tasting it. You want to get some fresh glasses?
The Senator?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do a side by side with the Senator here. You got one?
Yeah, I've got.
You want to grab a glass?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get you loaded. I've been known to do that.
I'm on the Uber dime tonight.
I'll pick up your Uber.
Hmm. Oh, now I did taste the banana. Or maybe you just talked me into it.
I think the Kentucky Senator is a little... It's less edgy. Yeah.
Why is that?
It's higher in proof, actually. These two taste completely different. So, completely different.
So I didn't get all the banana in this one.
No. It makes me believe that my source for the information was wrong.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if the Calumet is indeed the same distillery as the Kentucky Senator. Yeah. They taste completely different. And this would be a Beam. That would be a Beam, just a basic Knob Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a private barrel from this. So what we can do here.
Now we're going deep.
We can.
Deep in the rabbit hole.
We might need some more glasses if you can help us out. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to fill that up there and then just add a cap full of water.
Okay.
So get a cap.
Why? Because this one is
it'll bring it down to about that proof that we had. And so this will be a little bit closer
to the same.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Pappy and like the prices of it?
Well, the pricing it's a falsified price because they don't properly price it.
Okay.
It's a product that the demand is...
Has escalated the price?
Yeah, and they continue to keep it as a low price, so...
Do you like it?
Pappy 15 is amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, Pappy 15 is amazing. We got the green light for time.
Okay.
Damn, this is good. By the way, this is a private barrel pick for Liquor Barn. The guy who owns Liquor Barn... His name's Jonathan Blue, and he owns a sport agency, too. So he's an agent of players.
Out of where?
Out of Florida.
You've heard that name.
So the
this is good.
So Jonathan Blue, he's a Kentucky boy, but he's also got his sport agency, and he's got a culinary agency and stuff. Yeah.
This is really good. But I mean, I guess
this is amazing. This barrel pick is amazing. It's a Liquor Barn pick.
I guess after eight, though, they're probably all going to taste pretty good at this point.
I think I paid 60 for this one.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't pay a lot for it.
Why is it hard to get bourbon now?
Because everybody wants it. You know, there's just, bastards. I mean, if you look at the age on these things, This was distilled 15 years ago. This was distilled 9 years ago.
So there's only so much coming out each year.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, they can't just make more.
They can make more, but you won't see it for another 15 years.
12 years, whatever it is.
You know? And by that time, you know, I might be in a wheelchair or have orthotics on or, you know, who knows?
Maybe both.
So as we kind of close it out, I want to get a feel for what our last pour will be. Now, we've explored a lot of things here. Is there anything that you want to feel sentimental about, like a state, or do you want to go to something that you just had? Again, do you have a flavor that you want to tackle? Is there anything that you're really feeling?
No, there's actually not. I mean, I've loved them all. I think that you've done great picks. Maybe I would like to try something just off the cuff, like something you're like, hey, this is really obscure. Not pricey, but just like,
okay,
hey, like, I don't even know what the hell this stuff is.
Well, so you played for the Denver Broncos, very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
291 is a Colorado bourbon whiskey. They finish it with Aspen staves. Going to be uber smoky.
They finish it with what?
They finish it with Aspen.
Really?
Yeah, Aspen staves.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be completely different.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, there's sometimes I smell it and I smell cigarettes. You know, so, and you've got all of these incredible Facebook memes of you smoking cigarettes.
Sure.
Do you ever, like, look at those?
Well, we tried to shut it down. And whenever it came out, 2009, 2010, obviously it didn't work.
You can't, can you shut anything down on the internet? I don't know if you can.
No, well, I mean, they were selling shirts and stuff. So we like, you know,
oh, no shit
type thing. And then it got to a point I was like, you know what? Let's just let it ride. Hell with it. It's yeah, funny to me. So.
Does that stuff bother you?
No. But I just was like, hey, if they're making a ton of money in Chicago, maybe we should think about doing this. But then obviously we didn't. So now it is what it is.
It's like taking on a life of its own. And when I say it smells like cigarettes, it's like the particular ash. You know, it can, yeah, it has like a smokiness to it.
But I mean, I smoke cigars. I don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, I do a lot of cigars.
Yeah, I love cigars. It makes sense with bourbon.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, I'm starting a cigar.
Really?
Yeah.
With who?
I'm working with a company called Divine Leaf. And, you know, I've got my own like blend going and everything.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited about it.
Have you seen the bourbon glasses that have like a little cigar like notch in there? You just put your cigar in them?
I hate them.
I knew you would hate them. I knew you were going to hate them. Damn.
Yeah, I hate them.
I mean, they're handy though.
I mean,
you're more of a traditionalist. I get it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I want my sipping process to be different than the smoke inhalation process.
Sure.
And
now that you say that, now I think about it, yeah. I mean, when are you ever going to really put them both together?
Yeah. And then the one that I have has a bullet in it, so it's kind of like lame. Yeah. But that being said, I am a traditionalist. I am a purist. I'm also very much an asshole when it comes to new products that come into the sphere of whiskey.
Into the world.
But at least I own it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean...
You didn't hesitate. You didn't tell me, hey, it's a great idea. Just cause.
Yeah, I mean, but if you pitch me with a vodka, it's a bad idea. And it happens on a daily basis. All right, so here you go. 291.
Mm. Wow. That is completely different.
Yeah, it's completely different,
but I don't taste cigarettes. I do taste that.
Oh, it smells like cigarettes and got some smokiness to it.
It's got some smokiness to it, but I do taste like some in the back, like some greenish something.
Yeah,
back is middle.
It's totally a back bitterness kind of thing. Yeah, you definitely nailed that. And I'll square this away with like what has been my favorite taste of the day. And this has been an old Fitzgerald bottled and bond from last year.
And this was a sample from the distillery straight out of the barrel. And we're coming up on an hour, man.
Is that long?
Well, I tend to like be long-winded and you know, get to sipping whiskey and, you know, make new friends. It's just sure. How it is.
I think that's part of what this is about, right? Well, where's this from?
This is made by Heaven Hill. Okay. It is it's a weeded bourbon. So this is in the vein of like you know, Pappy Van Winkle and Maker's Mark and so forth. This is bottled. This is Old Fitzgerald, distilled in spring 2001, bottled in spring 2020.
I like that.
This has been my favorite of the day, even over my own barrel picks.
Let me try one more sip. Make sure I'm right here.
That's a beautiful thing about sipping. You know, got to make sure you're right. Do it one more time.
Mm-hmm. Little sweeter, but it has that like kind of like coating of the mouth thing that mm-hmm. you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
It's quite tasty.
A little, is there caramel or something in there?
There's a caramel in here. I mean, this is a vanilla forward yeah. caramel. I mean, it's got so much going on. And by the way, I always say caramel, but you said caramel, and he got yeah, me to say caramel.
I did.
That never happened before. I'm a caramel.
You're
guy.
A caramel. It's like in your Snickers and Twix and stuff. It's caramel.
It's caramel, and you're saying caramel.
A huge caramel guy.
Well, there's a caramel Indiana, so
there is a caramel up by Indianapolis.
Yeah, so I mean yep. maybe you know.
Yeah, you said it too, caramel.
I did, but you planted it in my head.
I know.
Kind of like maybe I did with the banana.
The banana, there. The whole banana thing. Yeah. After you said the banana, literally all I could taste was the damn banana. So I just ate a banana.
Right? Well, man, listen, it's been great to have you on here.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
I'm so excited to see, you know, what you got cooking on your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we're both a part of Podcast One, which is, you know, the biggest like non-radio affiliated podcast network. I mean, you got some big names on there and, you know, a couple whiskey drinking fellas like ourselves.
Yeah, we'll just sneak in, maybe get a few views, you know.
I mean, you know, who knows? But at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, doing what you enjoy.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to hearing you talk shit about your former players that you played with. That's going to be great. Since you laid it out here that you have no issues dropping the hammer, it's going to be great.
I said a few issues for certain people, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
In general, no.
But
no,
they're retiring no. out now.
They
know,
are.
So.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them are gone. So, yeah, these new guys, like, I got.
You don't know them.
I had no idea who these kids are.
You know, you have no idea. So you could just, you know, go off on them.
No ties.
No ties. And so just let it rip.
Exactly.
You know?
It'd be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Unless they're a Vandy player. Then you might be a little bit kind of...
Those are few and far between, so I think we'll be okay.
Right on, man. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers.
And remember, Jay, moving forward, vodka sucks.
And vodka sucks. I'm done with vodka.
Isn't that something with Jay? I mean, and a big shout-out to Nashville Barrel Company, you know, for hosting me. That interview took place in Nashville, just like the Hannah Dasher episode and a couple others coming up. I'm going to start doing that a little bit more. I'm going to be checking out, you know, finding ways to do bulk recordings with folks. Now that we can do it in person, it'd be a lot of fun, you know. It's a good time. And I want to thank to everybody who came out to my Oklahoma event last Saturday. That was an amazing adventure. Now I've got a big announcement. My next big event is going to be in Lexington, Kentucky at the Manchester Music Hall, and that's going to be December 4th. It's the Repeal Day Expo. We will be celebrating the repeal of Prohibition, which is actually December 5th, but that's a Sunday, and ain't nobody going to do something on a Sunday in December. At Sundays, they're like, you know, it's dark outside. You've got, you know, Christmas movies playing. You've got family coming over.
you got all the Christmas shopping to do, and you're just like, oh, I got to go to work on Monday. Because no one's taking work off, right? Because they're all having to go to work to make sure they have money for buying presents. Because the kids, you don't get presents. They're just like, Mommy, Daddy, where's my presents? I want this. I want that. You know, and you got to step in. And Santa's not always stepping in. But anyway, so that is why we are doing a Saturday on December 4th, Repeal Day Expo. So you can go to repealdayexpo.com for more information. But that's coming to you soon. More information is definitely coming to you soon, but it's going to be an awesome event at the Manchester Music Hall. So get ready for that in Lexington, Kentucky. But that's going to do it for us this week, folks. Be safe out there. Remember, no licking handrails, no licking trash cans. And you ready for this? Vodka sucks, unless it's being used for hand sanitizer. Cheers, everybody.
You've been listening to The Fred Minnick Show, brought to you by Michter's American Whiskeys and by 291 Colorado Whiskey. For more information on Fred's books, articles, and more, just go to fredminnick.com.